Magic the Gathering is a fantasy card game with over 50 million enthusiasts around the globe, and it has become an important social outlet for a lot of people here in the real world. Reporter Justin Cramon headed to Brooklyn to introduce us to some folks who are helping Magic cast its spell.
Lily Lamb is 35, and she's been playing Magic the Gathering since she was in middle school. She describes the game as
basically like Dungeons and Dragons in cards. So you cast spells, you play monsters, and then you fight against another player.
And Magic players really love the cards. They feature rich descriptions and immersive artwork, like the character Alesha, who premiered in 2015.
So the art is just this powerful Chinese woman. And later, I discovered that she happens to be a woman of transgender experience.
When Lam began to transition her own gender identity in 2020, cards like this made her feel Magic was a safe space for a trans woman. Under the name Rebel Lily, she started making online videos about Magic. And they got popular, partly for the strategies she shared, but also her sense of humor, even about personal things, like her own speaking voice.
I wanted to purposely take something I'm very embarrassed or shy about and make it into something funny, but make it something that might give someone strength.
This wish to support people as they transition is something you hear a lot in the Magic community. Arya Karamchandani is a game designer for Wizards of the Coast, the company in Washington State that makes Magic. She says the acceptance many trans people have found in the game has created a snowball effect.
Once a community is known to be welcoming to queer and trans folks, it attracts more queer and trans folks, and that's a lot of what's happened with Magic.
Karamchandani is one of several designers on the team who identify as transgender. Growing up in India, she says she didn't have a lot of exposure to people of marginalized genders. She got that through playing Magic online.
So when I'm designing cards, I sort of think of it in some ways as like repaying that in terms of making sure the people who play this game feel seen playing this game.
The inclusivity of Magic is intentional, and that strategy seems to be paying off. The game just saw its first $500 million revenue quarter. You could see the excitement on a Tuesday evening this month, when Lily Lamb arrived at a game store in Brooklyn for a monthly Magic night called Lotus Bloom, intended for trans and queer Magic players. The small store bustles with about 40 participants. Lamb takes a seat at a table with three other players. They're here to play a social version of Magic called Commander, which focuses less on winning than having a good time. Lam and her fellow players fall right into playing and joking.
Just to show that I'm not just picking on you, I will swing at Gabby.
Reina Rubino, a trans woman who co-organizes Lotus Bloom, said she and her partner started the event because
local game stores can be kind of intimidating spaces. They're typically very, like, cis, straight man oriented.
But organizing her own game night has made her more comfortable in those spaces.
A lot of people are more open-minded and accepting than we think they are. And I think as trans women, we have a tendency to maybe expect the world is against us in all cases. And what I've really found recently has been that's not the case.
Back at the game, Lamb's prospects aren't looking so good. She's pleading for her life.
So here's like a super advanced commander tactic.
She pretends to cry while everyone laughs. And then she dies.
I've been killed.
Did it put a damper on the night?
I met three new wonderful people and we had a very funny game. So I think it's very successful. Fantastic night.
For NPR News, I'm Justin Cramon in Brooklyn.